The body which turned body was not blood in the second chapter of the Acts. Yet I'm sure that we are all sure that the beginning and formation of the body, which is our subject at the moment, the body of Christ, came into being at that time in the descent of the Spirit of God, coming down from heaven from Christ in glory, and binding the saints into a spiritual unity in the beginning of the body of Christ. Well, we come today to this first place where it is mentioned, so far as our readings are concerned, which is by these two verses, two dedicated verses, and while we do spend a lot of time on these first two verses, our talk today is not the answer to the opening chapters of Romans, but rather to the working of this one body in Christ. And so if we just begin by outlining a little the features of the first two verses, it will prepare more for the subject before us in the continuing verses to how that we read anyhow down to verse 11. We seem to remember yesterday, and that is why sometimes we don't just answer the question immediately. I think we'll find the Lord in answer as we go on. You remember how in the second half of our reading yesterday, we indicated that the gospel was the means whereby God was affecting bringing into the thing of the body. Now I think that's becoming crystal clear in this very chapter. In Romans, the great outstanding epistle of the principles of the gospel and God's approach to man with a new blessing is summed up now in our response to God's approach in revelation, finding our particular function in this one body in Christ.
Two or three words in this portion of scripture, the service, Mr. Davidson, yes. Very particular significance in the service at the end of verse 1.
But the rest, Mr. Davis, I doubt you'll be looking them out. We just have that the first verse in service is priestly service, lepreor, priestly service. The other one that you're referring to is diaconate in verse 7, waiting, standing by the head of one another. The last one in verse 11 is bond slavery service, do lost. Right? I think you've been looking them out. And you have anything else to suggest about them?
No, except that the first one seemed to be particularly God-oriented.
Yes, it is, yes. The word that is used directly for priestly service, indeed it is in this very epistle we've discovered, where in chapter 9, the blessings conferred upon the earthly blessings, upon the children of Israel, one of them is having the service of God. That's the same word as this, priestly service in the tabernacle and temple.
To discover that the same word is used in the first chapter of this epistle, in the ninth verse, where it says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit." In the glad tidings, it's the same word, priestly service.
He was
in
service, priestly service.
Yes, and that's very reasonable or logical. There's many words. Or the intelligent, that is, we are capable of thinking the thing out. That the only possible thing, the only possible solution on my part, as I consider on the road, why God has moved toward me in this wonderful way, the only possible solution of that for me is that God must want me entirely for himself. And hence this dedication. That perhaps the best example we have in Scripture of a living sacrifice was in the dedication of the Levitical company, who were taken out, not counted among the children of Israel, but were separated from them, that altogether they may be devoted to the service of the tabernacle, and they were offered as an offering unto it. Mr. Earth has very helpfully pointed out that priestly servants would go along with that, perhaps what Peter admired as the Holy Priesthood.
Mention of God's approach to us. Summarize. expression here, the compassions of God.
I think so. Yes. Because we discovered that when God moved the world in Christ, he had not only a mind the forgiveness of our sins, wonderful as that is, but how as we rightly chapter so often, we have justification, we have peace with God, we have righteous, which of course is a king of justification. We have life. We have the spirit of faith. We have the consciousness of the room. I suppose, as we often say, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. All this God had in mind, and this is the epistle that outlines it to us. And that is why the apostle was appealed. That in the light of all these wonderful things that have been brought to us, coming from God, made through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, from our side we move to them when we believe the gospel, then the only answer to this and all that God has done, we might be entirely devoted to his service.
It's very striking that the bringing forward so frequently of the mind in this particular section. There are at least three verses that particularly refer to the mind. Now, here, we have the compassions of God brought for us. We might very well have thought it was a matter for the heart, but it seems that sometimes we get the mind brought forward.
But we get it for a viewing of your mind, and it is well to remember that the mind ought to be behind every movement that is made in relation to God. Sometimes we may be forced to movement without any prior meditation about the thing in an emergency. But there's no need for any decline of devotion to the will of God. There's an apprehension in divine endurance, or no doubt of life from God, that resolves itself to a certain objective in the mind that will lead to the act itself in committing ourselves to God. You may remember that the healing as an echo of that. In the second chapter of Philippians, with the Lord himself, has left his mind, the angel. Often as being pointed out, an act of mind preceded the act itself. That had there not been that act of mind, the Lord would never have been found in this world in that world. But the mind was there first, and there was the step of sin.
That's in this first two verses today, isn't it? The presenting of the body a living sacrifice to God, I suppose that's invisible to our fellows, our brethren.
So, yes.
But in the second verse, non-confirmation to the world, that's very evident.
Sure it is.
Yes.
The three references were the intelligent service, verse 1, renewing of your mind, verse 2, and think so as to be wise in verse 3.
The point is, God has given us in the power of the Spirit of God, that we are then able to think out these things for ourselves if we are going on with God. And then he's looking to us that how often we've said it, that if we are moving with God, that which becomes light, that which is light, that becomes law for us. As soon as we get this revelation from God in regard to any step in the pathway, then if the mind is right in relation to God, we immediately want to act according to that mind. Well, I suppose right that we have had a renewed mind, the idea that we think of things in an entirely different way. Perhaps the simplest way to suggest it. Before the gospel reached me, or before I heard of God, the bent of my mind was to please myself. But now through the compassions of God and working me, the bent of my mind should be to please God, completely renewed in the thinking of things out in the past. Well, on the subject, I doubt very much, Mr. Doherty, that any one of us going to function right, any one of us will function right, as part of this one body in Christ, unless there is this devotedness of mind to the will of God in this world. Some of these features, of course, will come out. You say, preparatory to it,
We really, really good at the doctrinal teaching of this epistle, which brings us to the point of deliverance and recognizes ourselves in this as completely delivered and in that kind of material.
Once done it,
Having once committed on in this way, as the apostle suggests or deceives us, it's something that's got to be continually exercised with us, and doing of that which we have done.
In the days of scripture, firm up to faith, that is, if I cling to it, they show it.
Now, it sounds in Romans 6, isn't it? Doesn't it ring in Romans 6? Our baptism, now yielding our members. And in this connection, it was, seen as following on with our reading of yesterday, where we said that the Christ saved us from this unto the world generation. It's a very decisive step, isn't it? Now, the will of God is done.
Well, again, yes, we were finding out, as we said, we just had some months ago in Scotland, but it was on Romans 17. That's how we're coming into this again. But we did find out, as you suggest that, that in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, we have the Lord Himself saying, I will do thy will, abide, as so prepared me. Now here, the very same two things on our side this time. The will of God and my body. And hence as we present that way, it means I'm prepared to another, my ambition, my own living life, in order that I might be moving in that way, subject to the will. It doesn't work out the same with everyone of us. What I mean by that is, there is no report prepared for that, and I am, and we all are, in this devotion. And I'm going to get great gain out of you, one to another, and you're going to get great gain from me.
Do we understand then that the first two verses are dedicatory acts taken up individually, but having passed through these verses, will it written into the Christian company?
Oh, it's with a view. It's not with me talking about service to God if that is not coming out amongst the saints of God. And that's what is the outstanding feature coming out on this side of the body.
I do just wonder if it might help just to see in true perspective the great force of all that's coming out in these verses. If you're just to speak a word in regard to this rather peculiar expression here, one body in Christ. Now, we're all familiar, well, I trust we shall be by the end of the meetings, with the body of Christ, but here we get the body in Christ. Would it just help just to speak words to the force and significance of the preposition here?
Well, that's why yesterday we didn't venture just to say what the body is for. I think we find there are so many distinctive things connected with this one body. It's not the body of Christ, not as such in terms. It's one body in Christ. The headship of Christ is not here. The reason of this one body here is accomplished the will of God. That's what we have today. It's collective, but I don't think it's
corporate.
Well, yes, but the point is that everybody who has a claim in this company, they have it because they are in Christ. We have one united company as being in Christ.
You get a similar expression in Galatians, we have sonship, don't you?
What do you put in?
Oh, yes, God who created in Christ Jesus.
Oh, yes, Christ.
You must be in Christ Jesus in that relationship.
Yes, that's right. And that's what has brought us together in this aspect of the one body, is that we have resembled the good of that which is available in Christ for blessing to mankind. It is not the local meeting, it's the whole Christian company. The local meeting of the Lord will have formed a night, another aspect of it.
It's something that's not really harmonious for each other.
The notes of Mr. Matthew, or another, as we see, is going down now step by step in the verses, your word, harmony, is just the very thing that is coming out. And for that, now we read again in verse 3, if the harmony is going to work, that I say, grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think sorely,
As well as God's law has dealt with every man, the measure of faith. Now, if there is going to be, as you suggest, this argument, I will have a seat with it. That exactly what my position is, so far as service is concerned, in this one body, in Christ. Otherwise, I'm going to lead to disharmony. Getting out of my head.
This position of grace, each one of us has it, from God's self-judgment, from our point of view, is a kind of faith.
Yes.
And especially if it's used again, the proportion of faith. Yes. When some man goes beyond what has been given to him, beyond faith.
So,
or in other words, a man ought only to do a thing or to act in the body as he has faith for it.
So. Grace would have to do with the favor. Because everything that God gives us is on the principle of favor, whereas anything. But an infinite graciousness, you know, something spiritual. Whether it be used for the blessing of the company, or whether it be for the accomplishment of the will of God. But as you say, I need to know that, and to have the confidence that I am moving there, that I am the circle in which God has placed me. And he's given me just enough faith to keep me going with my own little job. No more. That's what you think, doesn't it?
Yes. It would save us from after a little bit of disappointment at times, would it not? I mean, we might have to take up a job that we're not fitted for. We haven't got the faith for it. But if we only did that for which we would have been given faith, we'd always succeed, wouldn't we?
And in emergency, we may have to do
to be able to help them and expect somehow from them. So, yes, go on.
I mean to say that referring to Mr. Dummett's point again, the danger doesn't seem to be diminished here, but too much self-confidence.
Yeah, I imagine.
It's very bad here.
No matter.
But we'll get more time with the wrong person more than that.
I think you gave a striking example in the Old Testament of one who didn't have too much self-confidence, but needed a little bit of encouragement, I think you were right, Mr. Doctor, in the case of Solomon. Now, I've been impressed for a good many years now with the great wisdom of his request from God, ask what I should give unto thee. He said, I'm no child. I never asked how to go out or to come in. He's so wise and understanding how, and now he's got that, he's got the rest. And you know, my brother always said that isn't Romans 12 directly. The exercise is there, the exercise of conducting himself in relation to the rest of the people of God.
They're
not
in
this
church.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they're all right. We think if we can just move it down step by step. On the right of it, and the personal, because it's across with every one of us. On the right of the point that in relation to what God has done for me, I'm going to devote myself entirely to the service of God. Well, that's step number one, every one of us. The next thing is to read in the presence of God and think so there, Lord, what wilt thou have? I couldn't get a better one than Paul there. What will that mean to do? Now, here's a man prepared to think sorely and wait till the Lord indicates to him his particular service in this world. As a matter of fact, he speaks that about himself in the third First Corinthians, the very words we have here, death to every man. He knows that. He's not that a moment. He's an apostle, or a religion, if you like. In the third First Corinthians, I think I know that verse somewhere. Yes, in verse 5. Whom is Paul, who is a prophet, administered by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? Now there they are, apostolically. Now that's what you're finding out. And having finally worked out just what it was, the next thing is he saw in grace, because he had the grace, and according to the measure of faith, he began to put it to practice. And that's what we're coming to. Paul wasn't the boss, slightest thing of man. Timothy, Peter, and John, quite distinctive men. They say, where have you ever scored them? They don't know it. He's going soberly, having said and knew exactly their work in the service.
No possibility that God's left me out.
No, we're not left out.
We're not going to it. Every man.
Yes, every man. Why don't you think that this expression, that the passions of God, the passions of God ever out with me, really sets the whole atmosphere for these men of his actions. Certainly the mind is prominent here, intelligence is much to the front, but if the sense of the love of God is not impinging on our spirits, however could any of the oil to keep the thing used rather smoothly, either individually or the company? It's the love of God that's behind the whole thing. Oh yes, that's
so that I don't get what I would like, a place in the body or a member of the body that would be to me, but that which is in sovereign of God, all the wisdom that he knows for which he's taken that particular same. And the danger of mine is that I move outside in my mind, which would be the natural mind, ambitious mind. I move outside the orbit which is
and I think that thinking when that sort of thing happens, because when we are moving in that orbit, whatever we are each other, in that connection, God is prominent in Romans 12, you get the Spirit prominent, and Christ is prominent in the fourth of Ephesians. In each scripture, there's a spouse, and I suppose the exercise comes as to what our place is, God has it for us. The exercise is, are we in it? And so be assured of us that as we are one body in Christ, the result is we are on the side that we are to each other in the company. One of another.
But then having this doing, that is, I suppose, the ability to function, according to here, when a prophet prophesied according to him of faith. Now, when you spoke a little earlier, Mr. Richardson, about this, you notice that's the only verse where proportion. It's very striking that the word that comes from Logia, speaking words, because even if the rhyme comes from one saying to another, there can be only occasion there passing on as coming from the Lord. I don't mean the Lord the way you think. And let me see to it that when I want to give a saint of God some communication, I believe the Lord has given all them, that I don't go beyond what the Lord has given me to say to them.
What makes you think that this is not the Lord of you?
Well, I think it's the whole dream company. Well, that's why the different sort of gift and activity that my own being
concerned.
That's where you and I mainly express them. But in order to be on the place in the whole Christian company, wherever we are, there are certain things I can do freely with some of the local meeting that I couldn't do probably with everybody. But as a saint of God and the wrong body in Christ, I stand in relation to all my will, and in some measure my service will be effective.
Although it may be that the Lord did set me down in the same little company as you.
Both of us are in relation to the whole company,
so not just a particular part. There are two things. One is you should be careful about moving out of the place, and the other moving into the place. But the thing is in relation to the church worldwide. I think that's what's here.
So this verse then will include us as well as brothers.
Oh, well, yes. Right.
In other scriptures where we get the prophets mentioned, that seems to be meant for as
far as prophecy is concerned.
Yes, so here there's definite room this side. Prophecy existed.
Yes.
Well,
you see, the difficulty is that while we are trying to hold these distinctions, if you tell me it's the same thing, I'm not sure what it is. But I have endeavored in Christ. Why does the Spirit put it this way in Romans 12? Why does it put it in another way in front of the First Corinthians? If I make them the same, I'm losing them. I prefer to get what he says about it here, and see it clearly in that capacity, then see what the Spirit says about it there, and we'll sort it out intelligently. Unable to move.
A very practical question, brother. If this is to go out now, to every saint of God, we will have all the names of God together. How is the prophetic word coming to reach to us then that we don't come into contact with?
Well, it can't. What you have, you can't affect anybody that you don't come into contact.
Yes, that's why I'm asking the question, you say.
But if you don't come into contact with a saint and the Lord gives you a word for profit, the point is that you should pass it on to them.
Yes, you hardly get what's in your mind.
It's a normal ability, isn't it?
It's a Christian company.
But in actuality, there's a good deal of gift that is exercised. There are latest in the establishment. There is in the lady, there's maybe more gift in the congregation than one occupying the platform. Yet you don't try and downstate that.
Well, it may be. Yes. But I think perhaps in our thankfulness, as somebody stated yesterday, that if they sit out in the church's history, we can come together somewhere. And I'm going to reach the point today. Let us not, in our appreciation of that, forget that we still stand related to every saint of God in the whole Bible. And that's what he
said. Yes, that would be the important question. Don't you think, as a very important and practical matter, that in point of fact we do contact a good number of people outside the circle of the meeting. I think particularly as the magazine goes far what you were. There's a lot more here. It's just a little bit easier, I think, in regard to many of the others. But in regard to the prophetic word, I said, wasn't it? Okay.
I think this is the widest aspect of all everybody. The widest aspect.
That was your exercise, though, wasn't it, Mr. Duffy, is to have worked out practically.
Yes, and how far was it going to go?
Yes, quite.
You see, our brothers mentioned in connection with the man who may be stealing from a platform, the lady being far above the man who was stealing to them. Wouldn't be permissible for men to speak to the lady. It's perhaps in the same level as this, who can understand what I'm saying.
What do you mean, Mr. Dears? Why not accept an invitation from the minister? We go and address the congregation, and I'm so willing to give you a welcome. Yes, I know the practical difficulty.
The point is, I suppose, that the brother who can't hear, the saint, shall I say, who can't hear because he's physically at so great a distance, probably would never hear if you were in the room.
You only hear the words, but it wouldn't, the word of God wouldn't reach, the prophetic word wouldn't reach it to have any effect, well,
it may not. You're bringing quite out there, I'm not sure the liberty to men.
No, it is only that you are giving it the universal aspect, you say.
Yes.
Right. Well, it was a question how it was going to work out in practice. It's all right to state these things, you say, in fact. But there certainly are difficulties, brethren, in the working out of it. And I think as far as it lies in power, we should seek to explore every avenue without flouting the word of God in connection with the truth of separation. We should explore every avenue to seek to help all those who are members of the church.
Probably it's more difficult for the sisters than the brothers.
And
we're more concerned about the burden in China. But how responsibility lies to those believers, those who believe in God. And I suppose the individual responsibility is in relation to the
man. Here's someone knocked on my door,
came to say,
you
believe,
but
you think that's just the door
for someone
to believe.
Oh, dear. Yes, but the question is, will you
go
knock on another brother's door?
Yes, I do, my
friend. But it wasn't associated with our meeting.
Oh, yes, I do. I do answer that.
Well, yeah. I think that's another way of doing it.
That's what.
Okay. I realize that the link with that brother, the brother in the law.
Yes.
I mean, if I can possibly give him a service, then I
yes. Very good. Is this proportionate thing only applicable to the question of prophecy?
Well, it's only which it comes in. And I know I am speaking to men as capable of looking these matters out as I am, the way that I look here. And that is really why English does come in there, in a sort of limited sort of way, because if I go as a prophet, I'm definitely saying to that brother or sister, whoever they may be, look, I have a word from the Lord for you. I need to be greatly controlled as to what I am going to say in relation to you. You see, the other one, such as ministry, would simply mean standing by to help the saint of God. I'm not likely to overreach myself.
Thinking of the reverse direction. This is from God to us.
Oh, yes.
Often when we're speaking to God, I think that perhaps it would be better to sit down rather than go on in terms of
it. Oh, indeed it is.
For what?
Better than all winning, isn't it? I think the word danger is being, pardon me saying it, I did that myself to a careful analysis of this chapter. I thought, well, it isn't the Lord, well, maybe it's the whole Christian company. Note that we once write the word a little bit, and discovered it's the word blue, from which we get our common word for where. It simply means standing by the other hand. We talk about prophecy. Unfortunately, some of us think that's the acme of Christian service, getting up and saying something. Some of us don't think that, by the way. But here's a moment to lend a hand. I sometimes call you a bare repetition. But after a week's meeting, this week, I've had a very happy time for the week. I've got a messenger, and we're left together on the Lord's night. They locked the door.
I don't think there were so many good brothers that didn't come along now and again and give us a cheer up like this. But if a few brothers like you, Robert, didn't keep this door for every week, there'd be no better for us brothers to come to. Did you go out of your mind? Can be wise and then I'm wrong.
Just in regard to your first word, there is a difference between prophecy and giving up and giving away.
So, yes.
You don't say the matter which the scripture very carefully guards.
Yes.
Probably 1 Corinthians 4. Desire mercy, the best gift.
I mean, I'm not trying to say these are the world we're making here, but it's not that a communication with the thoughts of God to us will be able to find out all these other things that I mentioned. Then there's teaching, which apparently is looked at distinctively here from giving the word from the Lord as a prophet. And I think there's no confidence that one is in moving about. We read that it is, and of course we accept them when they are there. I think we learn experimentally in practice that it does work. Doesn't it? There are some that can pass on a word from the Lord clearly, succinctly, in one's conditions. There are others that can say, oh, look, that belongs there and that belongs there, and you can only confuse that with that. You see, that's why he doesn't say that there and up there. Well, that's what. And apparently it's all reading in the company here and there.
Didn't quite get what you meant by service and sentence.
In fact, there's one of the verses Mr. Henry went to, Mr. about service. The other one was down in verse 11.
What is service?
Yes.
The word minister, that's right.
Yes, I'm already recording that one for the ministry, yes. It's put for the ministry, it serves, isn't it?
Sending by the ministry. The ministry.
We went to a meeting in Maryport, Mr. Nelson and I, some years ago. I'm just taking a second on what you're asking, Mr. Bird. We didn't go to a meeting room from a brother who owned that it came to be right in the best. They didn't know what we had. Oh, well, the best thing to do is to open out a little bit, but we found there was somebody there. Found there were two women there that we didn't know, one of them don't know. They said, we really were doing all the preaching. Service, see, waiting for you. They prayed for you, for somebody to come and preach.
Could be more general then.
But mind you, it is put here in this particular way that there are some particularly gifted for some sort of help matter in that company. There is something that is still good about it in the service here.
In that same room, the breaking of bread, there's a weeknight meeting and there's a gospel meeting.
You said the service man,
yes, that's right.
What is the service man?
Yes.
Well, yeah, chiefly,
is it exclusively?
Well, I should say so here, but as far as I understand it, what we were to get higher about the other word was service called the priestly. Then he narrates up there. As again, we have touched on these and other places a little bit, but an exhortation is not giving a brother or a sister addressing death like the other one. But I can't for the comfort of the Holy Spirit of God. At least you were encouraged him.
You don't continue.
That's right.
It's something like what Peter says, stirring up your pure minds by way of remembrance. But many things for the saints are to be exercised about the things of God. What an excellent gift.
I remember years ago after a meeting, a young lady left the door said, well, there's one impression you always leave me with.
And that is his work going on. That's one of the best compliments ever to make. His work going on has been meant for the good sense.
Of course, that's really the only thing that's said here either about teaching, or exhortation, or ministry. Now, do it. Wait on it. Go on. Let me tell you what it is.
Neither it is. I remember actually that when we were put in with you say in italics, you come down to me, if you got it, get on with it. That's the idea, isn't it? He's a teacher, coming up to you already, then you're going to get on.
To each, what happens is all by their capacity,
isn't it? Yes. Having thought through that, and being sure that at least you're the best there, then in diligence get on. He said that the great bend of this chapter is it's a check on independency. I can't do without the rest of the saints a little bit, and nor can they do without me. They may have to me if I'm doing my little service for the Lord.
Mr. Darby, readily you're over the what's going on.
Yes, he did, sir. Yes, I suppose that's all right.
Then ruling is the word being said, takes the lead. That's directed amongst the saints of God, setting the example, takes the lead. And if I am to think, let me say that it's remembering that it was the factor on the localities to which we belong to guide you around in the right direction. The same minute we are living, I message that you do keep it going, discovery of ground with diligence. I very much struck years ago with the remark of Mr. Raymond's in one of his books. He said, if someone came to me and said, what are the Christians to be right? I ought to tell them immediately he ought to be right. He said, I'm afraid I'm not prepared for it, but I ought to. Oh, he can say, oh, yes.
As I am with Christ,
by the sword,
you're going to recognize it, doesn't it? Now, this is the field. Right? It was a quotation.
He doesn't mention, as I was mentioned, but I'll hand it to the letters. Third chapter, is it? Yes, it does. Thank you so much. The imitators all together of me, brethren, and fix your eyes on those walking.
You see, it's what I've been told today, doesn't it?
It does.
And for all leaders of the Word of God, we pray, Father.
Then it seems there's some very particular aim of mercy when it is needed. Some of us are pretty hard, just has made a mistake. We say, from 20 years, we can serve it. All the things they're ready to be regarded again.
Well, we put them out of those.
There are the disciplinary actions we know. I wasn't just thinking of that, by the way. I was thinking of thoughts and things like that with one another, you know. The children are cheerfulness. Well, that's what God is to, isn't it? You know, I think, as I've said, that the confidence we have about these things and moving about is we see this distinct thing now and then coming to life.
I know of instances where such as humans.
Oh, yes, sir, couldn't it? Of course.
This would be all the more wonderful as we appreciate the compassions of God toward us. This is the way that we are going to act toward one another.
It's been pointed out again, verses 6, 7, and 8. Give us what is distinctive. And of course, from verse 9 to the end, we have what is general. That whatever our distinctive capacity may be, the next exaltation for the market will. Let that be pure, simple, true. Not any friendliness about it without dissimulation.
Is not this quite easy for us to carry out? Now the thought in my mind is this, that the love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. And if the love of God, I shall look out to Christian, I shall be in an opportunity, I shall be waiting for another to serve the Lord in every matter. It's a looking at things. One, God has provided for us. He's made it possible to do so.
Yes, and I will go I think it was said, from the point of dedication and appreciation of the compassion of God. I will no longer view things from my personal standpoint. I am directing in relation to God. I'm sure one has very often said that the saints of God, well, don't take it out merely as it affects you. Regard the thing as it affects the testimony, the Lord's name. I'm just thinking it over again. I'm afraid we forget that very often, you know.
Isn't that the order that comes out in this two verses that we've read, Mr. Davidson. God first. The whole of the company, the saints of God, second, and my
letter. Oh, I'm sure of that. I'm sure of that. People may think that's a very awkward or a very funny or a very looking at it. It's the very simplest and happiest way for a saint of God to be found in this world.
But the children of Muslim must be today. The word is spelled joy, J-O-Y. Jesus first, others next, yourself last. I think it's about one of years.
That very order comes before us in the first verse of our chapter, does it not? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your intelligent service.
Yes.
I suppose the word holy would necessarily be altogether.
Yes, well, sanctified is the thought in the word, isn't it? The point is, God has sanctified our bodies for his service, set them apart. You remember how often we pointed out that the body is never said to be single in Scripture. Very carefully, that's never said. If it was, we would never offer it to God. But it does need sanctified. But I've already read through the 6th chapter, there I had once used my body for myself in a sinful practice. But now we're sanctified and only new body in the service of righteousness. Sanctified.
In the 6th chapter, you refer to 1 Corinthians, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh, so you don't
remember the thing, but you didn't remember the thing. Once you did it one way, now you're going to do it.
You do get the body mentioned in 1 Corinthians 6, of course.
The temple of the Holy Ghost, yeah. And then kindly affection one toward another, whatever my particular work may be, one toward another. And in on that, or where apparently difficult to translate, taking the lead and showing honor one toward another. They were now, if you're prepared to give me my place, sort of business, I'm taking and showing honor one toward another. These things are only part, of course, if we have the first two verses right now. Now, I'm not so full in business with another translation. I remember a brother once saying to us, we don't need to have an exhortation for that, brother. But it matters, it may, eh? The language of our soul, for it works on purpose, and don't make it purpose. Do it anyway, spontaneously for the business.
See, Mr. Dobby, he's in business, sir.
The only thing we think about this business is the luxury of it.
Well, that's some better and less slothful in the business. Go bankrupt. And perhaps they would need the words of Mr. Darby Jesus. Not slothful, apply to everything. Wouldn't it be in the business, so.
Yes.
Take in the world of the Christian sphere, you know, whatever sphere he moves in.
Money. Yes. Well, I find the opening of the lesson. In relation to diligence, don't make it excellent. Eagerly, willingly.
What will I then find to do?
Right? That's it. Do it with all my mind.
Is it really secular business?
I don't think it's anything to do with secular business. No, my point of view is what has been said, that as a Christian, be just as faithful for the Lord in the business of a masterful servant. There we are, crossing. It's all about Sunday here.
The more things the Lord
is not. That's the point. Serving the Lord is the best thing. That's right. Serving the Lord, that's it. Red hot, isn't that red?